Greetings, Capital Community Church. Some people would hear that phrase and possibly think that we are not much of a church if we don't meet in a church on a weekly basis. But a church is a community of believers, not a building or a meeting. So, in spite of the current challenges of COVID-19 and closed borders, we are a church, a worldwide church with roots in Beijing. And we can be thankful that we have technology that can help us to keep connected and united. Hopefully, we will be able to begin gathering together in the same place soon as well. Last week, Jeff introduced us to the book of 1 Thessalonians written by Paul to the young Christians in Thessalonica. Paul, Timothy, and Silas had spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica and had been forced to flee persecution. But Paul was worried about the young converts he had left behind, so he sent Timothy back to check on them. And Timothy reported that they had remained faithful, and their example of faithfulness in the face of sinful culture had become newsworthy. Paul was writing to express his joy and thankfulness of this news and to encourage the new believers in Thessalonica to remain firm in their faith. How did these young, inexperienced Christians become so strong as to resist temptation, to continue as a church in the face of persecution, and to become so well known that their story was known to people far from Thessalonica? If we heard something like this today, we might wonder if the vast power of social media was involved. That's how such stories can go viral today. But Paul understood there were other reasons for this amazing story, and we will get to his explanation and reasoning in just a bit. But first, let's pray together. Father God, we are eager to receive your word today. Help us to understand how we can join you in your redemptive work in your world. Sometimes the world around us seems so chaotic and so big that we have no chance of making a real difference. And yet you do use people like us to grow your kingdom. We pray that your Holy Spirit would guide our thinking today as we consider the message that Paul had for the Thessalonians and try to find meaning there for our own lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So before we get to our scripture today, I'd like to ask you a question. When you hear the word imitation, what do you think of? Maybe you think of imitation vanilla. It's sort of like real vanilla, but generally considered inferior to real vanilla made from vanilla beans. It's much cheaper. Maybe you think of imitation crab meat. Real crab is expensive and difficult to get out of the tough crabs in large volume, so seafood makers will harvest fish and process the meat to taste and look sort of like crab, but it's also not the real thing. Maybe you think of an imitation Rolex watch or an imitation Gucci bag. I'm sure at some point someone has tried to sell you one on a street somewhere in the world. Just $300 for this watch valued at $10,000. Buy this bag and we can put whatever label you would like on it so you can impress your friends. Too good to be true, literally. Another imitation. Or perhaps the word imitation makes you think of an art forgery. Art thieves might try to sell an imitation as the original. Sometimes museums will even display very good imitations so they can keep famous original paintings safe. These are all imitations with a somewhat negative meaning. It all refers to something fake, not genuine, not real, cheap. But is that the only way we should think of imitations? I was once confused by the title of one of the most famous Christian devotionals ever written. Thomas A. Kempis, about 600 years ago, wrote a book, originally in Latin, called The Imitation of Christ. it has been translated into many languages since then. The author does not intend for us to seek a fake Christ or to be a fake Christ. In the first passage of the book, he wrote the following. Actually, I've changed the language slightly to be more understandable. Jesus' teaching surpasses all teaching of holy men, and those that have his spirit find in his teaching the hidden manna, or spiritual food from God. But there are many who hear the gospel a lot and yet only feel a little desire for it, because they do not have the mind of Christ. But those that do fully and with wisdom understand Christ's teachings should strive to conform their whole lives to the mind of Christ. So here is a very different kind of imitation. Here we are encouraged to conform our whole lives to the mind of Christ. We should try to act like Christ, to welcome his Holy Spirit into our minds, to study his example and copy it, and even to think like Christ. Perhaps in this context, different examples of imitation should be used that make more sense. Anyone who has cared for small children has enjoyed watching them imitate adults and other kids. They will imitate whatever we do, whether it is good or bad. They do not have full understanding, but this is a normal part of learning and gaining an identity. And if they have a good enough example to follow, their imitation can actually be very effective until a fuller understanding can be achieved later. Later on, they gain the why behind their imitation, and it strengthens their resolve, making their actions even more genuine and attractive to others who might start to copy them. Here is what Paul writes in the second half of the first chapter of Thessalonians. Listen for this theme of imitation to pop up in the writings of Paul. Paul writes, "You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Paul begins by reminding the Thessalonians of the example he and Timothy and Silas had set by their own actions. It must have been a remarkable 3 weeks that they spent with the Thessalonians. We know that Paul and his friends were working day jobs while also preaching, converting, and supporting these new believers. It says the people received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So the example Paul set was an amazing contrast to the world the young believers were working and living in. He was preaching and demonstrating love and humility and liberation, which were very countercultural ideas in Thessalonica. Jesus used similar ideas in his own teaching. He told his followers to be salt and light. Salt because it changes things. Light because it lights up the darkness and it provides contrast so people can see. We are similarly called to be different from our surroundings and to be effective as his followers, our actions should stand out from those of the popular culture around us. The Holy Spirit can teach us how to do this if we are listening closely and making this our prayer, that we would be blessed to be involved in Christ's redeeming work in the world, that He would be able to work through our hands and feet, and that the next generation of believers would take up the gospel and continue spreading it. Paul's feelings toward the Thessalonians were that of a concerned but thankful parent. These converts were his spiritual offspring in a way. In the same way our children will mature by imitating us, the Thessalonians were maturing by following Paul's example. But he is clear in his writings that this is not really the entire picture. While the young Christians imitated Paul, Paul was imitating Christ, and the Holy Spirit was supernaturally injecting joy into the whole experience for this new church in Thessalonica. And it was not some secret experience or the action of a private club that the believers were keeping to themselves. They were open about their experience in their community, even though it brought a lot of criticism and persecution to them. The word was spreading to the surrounding areas about the transformation of these young believers. People were taking notice, and the gospel was spreading because the Thessalonians were acting boldly while being persecuted and tempted. They themselves, even in their childlike state as young Christians, were being effective examples of Christ at work in the world. Just as Paul was their example, they were examples to others. Their repentance and transformation was becoming legendary. God was using them for His glory to spread the gospel even faster than Paul and his team could move. They would enter a town and find that the people there already knew the story of the Thessalonian church. Ultimately, as Paul notes, the result is that many people were hearing the good news of salvation and the eternal life with Jesus. If you are not a Christian, but you find this story interesting, I would encourage you to learn more. Find a Christian whose words and actions convey the love of Christ, and then watch them, learn from them, ask questions, even imitate them. Some people think that full understanding of the Bible and perfect behavior is required to be a Christian. But any mature Christian will tell you that they did not have a full understanding when they began their walk with Jesus. It takes faith in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and a willingness to follow his example. The mature understanding comes later. And if you are a Christian with a mature faith, then I would ask you to take a moment and reflect on your spiritual heritage. Who was your spiritual parent? Who did you imitate as a young Christian? Who set the example for you to follow, and who pointed you to Jesus? If Christians had only ever imitated each other, then the faith would have drifted so far in the last 2,000 years as to be unrecognizable. There must be something else that grounds us and keeps our faith genuine. It is a combination of some things, actually. It is Scripture. It is the Holy Spirit that blesses us with understanding of Scripture. And it is Jesus, our Messiah, the perfect example of a child of God. As we imitate Him, people notice, and their spiritual childhoods can begin. Are you deliberate in praying that you would be more like Christ? Do you pray that Jesus can use you to spread the gospel to others? Who might be watching you and learning what it means to be a Christian by your example. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to be more like you each day. Draw us into your view of the world and of people around us. Your kingdom is magnificent, and we want to be a part of it. We know that you have used people like us to set an example for others. We look to you and other Christians who have been filled with your Holy Spirit as our examples. Show us how to love and encourage each other and the people we encounter. Teach us to value what really matters to you. Help us to know how we can be used in your kingdom. It is all for your glory, Jesus. Amen.